Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your understanding, for your power, for the hope that we have in you. Father, we thank you that we can trust you, that you are trustworthy. Father, as we finish this year, Lord, I pray that our minds would not just be going to only where you've been faithful in the past and the struggles of the past, but Lord, we would be looking ahead of ourselves. We would be looking ahead and to what you would have for us this year. Father, we ask that this would be a year dedicated to you, that we would see more people come to faith in you through this church, through the churches in this community, Lord, through the churches in our nation and in our world. Lord, we ask that this would be a year of repentance, that this would be a year of renewal, that we would see the Word of God transforming lives, your Holy Spirit, Lord, coming in and moving in ways, Lord. We thank you for what you've done this last year and the last few years in the Muslim community, Lord, how so many are having visions of Jesus and coming to faith. Lord, we pray that would continue this year, that we would see more and more men and women and children who are hungering for truth find you. So, Father, as we come to your word today, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds. Give us faith, Lord, that the kind of faith that moves the mountains of the challenges around us. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What do you believe? What do you believe? I tell you, my daughter gives me a hard time. Actually, Tessa especially gives me a hard time when she calls them my old lady movies. I love Hallmark movies. I'm not ashamed to admit it. All right? I like cheesy Hallmark movies where there's the happy ending right there. I like cheesy Hallmark movies. I just do. But one of the things that I noticed this year as I watched a few of them was the topic keeps coming up of you've got to have faith in all these Hallmark movies. It doesn't talk about faith in Jesus necessarily. Just got to have faith. Got to have faith in something. Got to have faith in your dad. Got to have faith in this. Got to have faith in that. And, you know, it leads me to that one basic truth that everyone believes in something. Everybody, but even the greatest atheist, believes in something, has a heart that's drawn to something specific that needs and wants science to be the God and to be the answer and to be the hope that we put all our trust in. And I love science. I love science. And I think over and over, science leads to those questions that are bigger than life itself. And you keep coming to the place in science where the answer is unclear. And we're just by looking at creation, we come to this understanding that there's what created it. And my dad, who still is was a statistics professor at the University of Washington for 50 years before he retired, and now he's really excited because he's back and teaching one class, so he's having fun with that. But he's not yet a believer, and. But his response, because he deals specifically with the probability of chance into statistics. And that's his area of focus. And when he was a younger man, he was one of the top five guys in the world of dealing with the probability of chance. And one of the things that's very clear is for one cell to exist, just one cell, because of the intricacy, a cell is like a warehouse full of machines that all work together. And it's this amazing thing. And as we've been able to look smaller, it's amazing to see how it's this incredible machinery that all works together. And for one cell to exist, my dad says, statistically, it is impossible. You have to be a moron, a fool, to believe that that kind of intricacy, that kind of design can happen by chance. There's obviously a creator. There's obviously something that put this in motion. We don't take a book and think, oh my goodness, how did the lettering get on this thing? And all of the pages, and they're even numbered and they're in order. And the letters, they make words. And the words make sentences, and the sentences make sense. And it tells a story. What are the chances, guys? This is nothing in comparison to the amount of information that's in one cell. This, we would have to have volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes for one cell. For just one. And yet man, in our genius, in our wisdom, in our intelligence, not wisdom, has said, oh man, it's all by chance. It's all by chance. And then you've got to have all the science that is not allowed to go, is not allowed to be funded, money's not allowed to be poured in, people are not allowed to get tenure, you're not allowed to publish papers if you question Darwinian evolution. And so there's this faith in science that the answers are in ourselves and there's nothing else, and there's nothing else that matters. And when you get that line of thinking, guys, it's exhausting because you have to keep cutting corners. You got to keep saying, okay, the science leads here, but we're not allowed to ask those questions and go in that direction or we'll lose our funding. So let's pretend this is real. Let's pretend these are realities. And when you start playing around with what's right, what's wrong, and it's amazing what you can come up with. And it's a mess. And as we take God out of things, out of school, as we take prayer out of things, as we take relationship with God out of things, as we put in place of truth, as we put in lies, we see things changing. We see as prayer and the Word of God was taken out of schools, all of a sudden, a skyrocketing in young people trying to commit suicide. Why? Because they get to trouble, they get to hardship, and there's no truth, there's no answers, there's no purpose in life. It means nothing. And it's taught in the school, it means nothing. Life has no value. Life has great value. We were created in the image of God. But guys, all these things require faith, and not just faith in something, but faith in Jesus Christ. And if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about just in religion and spirituality and angels and no, faith in Jesus Christ, because he made some very specific claims. And as we go through it, starting next week, as we go through who is Jesus, man, we're going to hit what Jesus and others said about himself and what they said about him. And is it real? Is it true? Is it right? And as we get ready to talk about that, I wanted to start in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. And this is the introduction to the great scriptures of the heroes of faith. And it gives a list of all these, you know, all these heroes of the faith and what made them so special, what made their faith so special. And it starts out with an introduction to faith, and that's Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that when it went, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. See, God made something out of what?
Nothing.
Nothing. God created. We know that creation, that what we have is expanding. We know it's moving out. We can measure now. We've got the technology to measure that our creation is expanding outward. It's coming from a central point. In the beginning, God created. There's a point of in the beginning. Faith has a couple areas that it mentions here of focus. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. What is it you're hoping for? I want to hear from you guys. What is it you're hoping for? Joy? Love? More specific, what is it you're hoping for? Healing? Yes. What is it you're hoping for? What's that? Meaning. To see Jesus? To see him face to face. Man, how great is it going to be when our faith in what we hope for is what we see and know and experience. And right now we experience Jesus in part, the truth in part. We experience now by faith the kingdom of God in part. We don't have to wait till we die to experience the kingdom of God. We can experience who he is in part right now. It's so much different than knowledge about God. And I love what it says in verse 2. Well, I'll get to that in a minute here. So faith is confidence in what we hope. Confidence. Guys, think about that. In what we hope for. What does it mean to be confident?
No doubt.
Jim was mentioning downstairs this morning, when you're confident, it's like confident in, what was it, the sun's going to come out, that it's going to be a new day. You're not like, oh man, come on, lucky seven, we're going to have another day. I hope it's going to, we're confident. We wake up and we think, a new day. Of course, we go to sleep, we think, I hope it's going to be a new day tomorrow. We're confident in what is coming. And guys, in our faith, we can have the kind of confidence in what we hope for. I want to ask you this. Do you have that confidence in Jesus? Do you know in your soul what's coming? Do you know in your soul who he is? Do you know in your soul who you are in him? Having the confidence in what we hope for, and then the assurance of what we don't see. What we do not see, have assurance. Lord, we pray for the safety of all involved in that. And just for your blessing on all the people. Guys, we're called to have a confidence in faith in Jesus. And, to believe, to have faith, it's not something that's just mentioned a couple of times in the Word of God. Almost 500 times to have faith, to believe. Almost 500 times it's mentioned in the Word of God. It's an important part of what the Word of God is teaching and communicating and making clear to us. So we need to be ready to respond. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So we not only have faith and assurance, but we have a faith in a God who is powerful and who's the one who created, who's the one who's in charge, who's the one who makes the rules, who's the one who gives the structure and gives the understanding, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. God took nothing and made something. Now guys, I can take my Bible, I can rip out the pages, I can make a paper airplane. I can make a lot of things from the Word of God. I can do origami all day. I can't really. But somebody who knew origami, they could. I can do an airplane. I can do a few airplanes. But certain people, they can make all kinds of things. But you need something. You need the paper. To make something out of nothing is what? Impossible. To make something from nothing is impossible. It cannot be done. Unless you're God. Thank you. Unless the impossible is what you do. As faith isn't just an intellectual understanding. Faith isn't knowledge about rules and regulations. Faith isn't duty and understanding the right things and being good enough and figuring it out and really understanding right theology and getting all the T's crossed in just the right way and all the I's dotted. Is theology important? Yes. But faith is in Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and what he has accomplished, what he has done for us that we could not do ourselves for ourselves. We have sin, each one of us, and we know it. Everyone, even if you don't have a personal faith, if you look at your life, you know you've blown it. You know there's junk. You know there's the sins of others on you and your sins on others. And if we're all honest about that, we know that we're all broken, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But faith means a commitment to Jesus Christ, to follow him. And we do that by receiving him as our Lord and Savior and making him the Lord of our lives, by no longer being the one who gets to be in charge of ourselves. And that's hard, guys. I got to admit it, right? Anybody have an easy time in that process? It's hard to give up control. How does your worldview affect your worship? If what you believe is truth, what do you think your life starts heading towards and is built on and is focused on? And how easy is it? How possible is it? Not easy, but possible is it to stay on the path, on the right road? Guys, without it, with a worldview that's based on the superiority of man or anything else, instantly we're out of truth and we're going in a direction that leads to hardship, leads to pain. If your worldview is that it's all about me, many in this room, including myself, had that worldview for a number of years. It's a painful worldview, and it leads to destruction. For the next several weeks, 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at seven areas of what Jesus says he is, of what the Word of God says about Jesus. And guys, as we go through this, as you guys hand this out to your friends, as you welcome them and invite them to the church service, I want to ask you to do it prayerfully and to go out humbly and just love on people. Let them know that what we're going to be talking about, who is Jesus? There's a lot, Time Magazine did a whole, they've done it more than once, haven't they? Of who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And this is an important question. It's the kind of question that calendars, before Christ and what? After, right? We've got Christmas. What is Christmas? The celebration of Christ, of him coming, of being made flesh. Jesus is an important part of our society. And right now, the culture that we live in is trying to say, it's not that important. And you know what? It's not even healthy. And the more we can get away from this God thing, the less trouble we'll have. But if you look at nations, if you look at countries that have taken out God, it gets ugly quick. When you remove God, it becomes Lord of the Flies. When you remove God, the structure is gone. The love is gone. And it does become survival of the fittest to a point. And that's not always pretty. For the next 7 weeks, who is Jesus? God's word claims that Jesus is a number of things. We're hitting seven of them. There are many, 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 many more. This is not an exhaustive study that we're going to be going through. It's really scratching the surface. It's really a beginning look at who is Jesus. But we're going to be looking at Jesus is God. Jesus is God. In John 8:58, it says, "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Now, Jesus is right around zero when he starts. Right around there. And it says, before Abraham. Abraham was what, about 2,000 years before that? That's quite a statement. Before Abraham was, I am. Does anybody know the significance of what I am stands for? It's a name of God. I am. He's not only saying before Abraham was I am, he's saying I am God. I am God, and I am, and I was, and I am, and I will be. We're going to be looking at what does it mean that Jesus is God? Because if Jesus is just a good guy, guys, we're in trouble. We're going to be looking at the Creator. The second week, we're going to be looking at Jesus is the Creator. And we'll be hitting one of the thoughts I have from there is from Colossians 1:16, which is, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. Some things, all things have been created through him and what? For him. Because these are bold statements about Jesus and by Jesus. These are statements that change everything. We can't look at these things and just say, oh, those are nice things and Jesus is a nice guy and a good teacher. No. These are bold statements. I'm God. I created. Now, if these aren't true, then he's a liar and he shouldn't be worshipped. But if they are true, if he is who he says he is, that changes everything. Not only is he God and the Creator, he's the life. The life. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Man. Guys, we won't know what life is, real life, eternal life, abundant life, outside of Jesus Christ. Do you have any friends that are struggling with depression? Are you struggling with depression? Are you struggling with man, just blah? Are you struggling with really, is there a purpose to all this? Because if Jesus is life, if our life that is eternal, not just, you know, for, you know, a few years to 90, 100, 120 years, but what if eternal life is possible? I mean, you guys look at the how many products were sold this Christmas to make people look and feel younger. We have built an economy on looking and feeling and presenting yourself as younger. We desire to live longer, to be younger longer. It's in our DNA, guys. The reason all these things keep selling is because we were created in the image of God. We know that something inside us desires for something more than 120 years, max. And so there's this hunger. And when we take God out of it, we're going to try and fill it with this great cream that you put under your eye. And you just need a little bit. And this tiny little bottle is only $400. And it'll change your life. All these wrinkles for the next 20 minutes will go away. Only $400. We're selling out. Order quick. Our life is found in Jesus Christ. Eternal life. It can't be taken away. When we come by faith, it's eternal life is what? Eternal. Ongoing. It's not eternal life for a little while. It's eternal life. Jesus is not only God, the Creator and life. He's the Word of God. The Word of God. And we go to Colossians 3:16. And it says, the Word of Christ richly dwells in us with all wisdom. The Word of Christ, the truth of Jesus, it dwells richly in us with all God's wisdom. All leads towards who Christ is in us. And how do we know who Jesus is? We know through the Word. We know through the Word. Not only is he God, the Creator, life, the Word of God, he's the High Priest. The High Priest, Hebrews 10 and 11, 12 says, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time and after time the same sacrifices which can never take sins away. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. That he is Jesus. Guys, think about that. I love this. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time. Why is it in the Old Testament, before the time of Christ, why did the priest keep, I mean, that's a lot of birds they had to kill. Blood had to be shed for the forgiving of sins. I am so thankful I live B.C., not B.C., but A.D. I am so glad I don't like blood. Just me. I don't like killing things. Yes, I love meat. I eat meat. It's not a meal if you don't eat meat. My daughter, one of my daughters, my youngest daughter, is a not just a vegetarian, but a vegan, which I respect because her discipline is amazing. But in my opinion, she spends the rest of her life being hungry. No. Amen. I like meat. But I like it pre-killed. I love the fact, too, that I don't have to kill my meat to eat. You know? But the priest would sacrifice for the sins. And there's the yearly sacrifice, there's the daily sacrifice, there's all these sacrifices that had to be made. And no more do sacrifices need to be made because it was made once and for all in Christ Jesus. It is finished, the work is done, and the sacrifice, God himself came, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. Because here's the reality, guys. God and sin cannot be together. So me and my sin, I don't get to be with God. Why? Because God and sin can't be together. But God loves us so much that he made a way for even me to be with him. So a way for my sin to be dealt with. And he died. He took my sin upon him, your sin upon him. And he died on the cross. Not only did he die, but he rose. He conquered the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And he ascended into heaven. He's the great high priest. Jesus is God, the creator. Jesus is life, the word of God. Jesus is the high priest. And in Hebrews 12:2, we see that he's the author. It says he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. One of the things that's hard to get our minds around is even our faith comes from Jesus. Guys, think about that. Our faith comes from Jesus Christ and is made possible. It's his work. It's built on him and what he does and what he did and what he is. We're going to be hitting that. And all seven of these are powerful, but guys, it is amazing to see when we come to terms with these truths, first of all, we grow in our understanding of these truths, and then experience living out that truth in our life, guess what happens? We experience more peace and joy. The fruit of the Spirit becomes what we breathe, how we live. It flows from us. Have you ever tried to be good? Guys, I got to tell you, I put on a few pounds this holiday season. Yeah! And I was even trying to be good at times. I had certain days, but you know, we had a few meals at a few homes because my parents are divorced and remarried, and so we're making the rounds and we're going having a meal here and then having a meal here and then having a meal here. And there's all this wonderful food, and it's all my favorite foods. And different people know what I like and know what everybody likes, and I tried to be good. I failed miserably. I had a couple days where I did all right. And I did better than I've done some years in past. But I didn't stick to what I wanted to stick to. As we can try and make ourselves right. And last, our hope, 1 Timothy 1:1. And Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Who is our hope? If you don't know what it's like to have hope in something bigger than you, my prayer is that this day or this coming series more than any series, that the truth of the Word of God would enlighten you and set into a new understanding of who He is and what He's done. Guys, I'm excited. And I just want to end with this. Romans 10:10 says this: "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Guys, faith is not just in something we do. Faith is from the heart. God wants our hearts. He doesn't want just our minds. He doesn't want our duty. He doesn't want our right actions. He desires what makes us tick. He wants us to give. Have you ever fallen in love and you gave your heart away? That's what Jesus wants. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified." Guys, it is a big thing to give your heart away. There is nothing greater that you can give than your heart. Nothing greater. And so many of us have experienced broken hearts because we've given our hearts, we've given who we are to somebody, and they took it and they threw it down and they trampled on it and they didn't even give it back and they walked away. And so the next time when we pick up our heart and we dust it off, and it's a little harder to give it away, isn't it? Time goes on and you start to, you kind of know, and then you give it away and somebody else takes it and throws it down and stomps on it and walks away. What do you learn? You don't give your heart away. It's too costly. Guys, the truth is, when we give it away to anything but Jesus, no matter how wonderful the person is, how committed they are, they will let us down. We are to love people but trust God. We are to love people but trust God. If you put your trust in me, it's going to be a matter of minutes before you're disappointed. If we put our trust in anything else, anyone else, it's for nothing. God is so great, and we are so not apart from Him. But yet, by faith in Him, we are children of the Most High God. We have gone from sinner to saint. We have gone from broken to whole. Guys, I want to encourage you, keep these next 7 weeks in prayer. We're going to need to pray hard. Because I believe God's going to do some amazing things in these next 7 weeks. But do you think the enemy's going to let that go without a fight?
No.
We need to be in prayer. God loves us. And He's given us the ability to choose to follow Him. What do you believe? What is your faith in? Is it in anything besides Jesus? It's time to ask some new questions and look at some new things. I encourage you. Be willing to do that these next 7 weeks. Let's come together and let's all be challenged by coming to a greater understanding of who God is. It's exciting. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your truth. Father, thank you that it's not complicated. Thank you that we don't have to have 4 degrees to understand how to be made right with you. Lord, you took the impossible, the intricate, the unimaginable, the impossible, and you made it simple for us out of love. You made it so that all can understand and believe and receive and follow. And so, Father, we ask for these next 7 weeks, Lord, that you would do a mighty work. Lord, we ask that you would bring some new people. Lord, we pray for those that people here that are nervous about asking somebody and yet feeling led to ask somebody new to come. Lord, I pray that our fear of rejection wouldn't outshine our love for that person and that love which comes from you. So, Father, just I pray for boldness this week. I pray for boldness to invite, to have real conversations. Lord, it's a new year. A lot of people thinking about new things. People are open. Just pray that you would give us strength and courage to love you back and love others with your love and be about things that are eternal. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.